Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Elimination Diet Made Simple. Now, the Elimination Diet is not recommended for you if you are experiencing symptoms but you haven't seen your GP. You cannot use this to create your own diagnosis, and it's certainly not a magic pill. It's also not recommended for anybody who's diabetic or pregnant. Again, you would need the approval of your GP. However, the Elimination Diet is recommended for you if you have symptoms, you've seen your GP, and they've diagnosed a condition. Probably your prescription is something like pain management for your symptoms, but we're particularly interested in that they've ruled out any pathology. But you're here because you really want to reduce the frequency, severity, or length of any symptoms that you're having, whether they're allergies or in the digestive tract. And the Elimination Diet doesn't work unless you do. So you absolutely have to believe that you can achieve freedom from your current symptoms, whether they're allergies or digestive issues. And also understand that it's, you know, lifestyle changes need to be made to lead you to that freedom. So if you haven't met me yet, my name is Kirsty Terry, and I'm a practitioner in the following modalities. I work with functional medicine, which is all about getting to the root cause. And for functional medicine, I've worked with a lot of digestive issues. And anybody who comes to me with symptoms in the gut tract, you know, the Elimination Diet is the absolute first thing that I recommend that they do. So I've got a lot of experience of how to do it and how not to do it as well. I'm also an Asaira screening practitioner, so I do all my own health screening with my Asaira. I don't do the biomedical screening anymore. And also a RTT practitioner, rapid transformational therapy. So for the people who have the symptoms and we know what they are, but they might be stuck in their behaviours or their habits, then RTT is fantastic for moving people on. So my aim for you today is to understand how an elimination diet can be made simple so that you can get your health back on track. So let's get into the content. Now, the word diet has such negative connotations. You know, people think of it, oh, it's calorie restricting, we're cutting out food groups, when will I ever be able to eat whatever I want? And it's really seen as an unsustainable or a completely unenjoyable way of eating. However, when it's administered correctly, you learn how your body reacts to certain foods. And the Elimination Diet is a short-term eating plan to eliminate the foods which are known to cause your body distress. And then you reintroduce them in a controlled way, and that helps you understand which foods are safe, right, and good for you, because you will understand how your body is reacting to them. And it is one of the only ways to properly understand your body, because you are different to everybody else, your friend, your partner, etc. And your body is reacting in a different way. And it is very, very unique. So there is no broad spectrum food list that you can and can't have. But what I'm going to present you today is the evidence base. So let's talk first about food allergies, because there are food allergies, and these can require medical interventions. Some people suffer anaphylactic shock, which definitely needs emergency service. They might carry an EpiPen. But we also have food sensitivities and food intolerances, and they are different. So a food allergy is defined as an unpleasant or dangerous immune reaction. And it's normally very rapid after a certain food is eaten. And there are more than 170 foods which have been reported to cause allergic reactions. However, in contrast to that, food sensitivities and intolerances, they are not immune reactions, but they do have a wider range of repercussions in the body. So often people are walking around with symptoms and just not aware that the culprit might be on their plate. And there's no way of knowing really without isolating the offender. And although I say it might be on your plate, it could be in your personal care products as well. So have a look at these symptoms: digestive distress, respiratory issues, rashes, water retention, acne, migraines, congestion, fatigue, irritability, brain fog. The list goes on and on and on. Any of those can be because of a food allergy. But take something like almonds, for example. It might not actually be on your plate. It could be in your personal care products, if you've got it in your skin cream or if you've got it in your hair products. So just do bear that in mind as well. So there are major groups of allergens which are recommended by the FDA and the MHRA, etc. And they are milk, eggs, peanuts, wheat, soybeans, tree nuts, fish, and shellfish. Tree nuts, different to peanuts. Peanuts are a legume. Tree nuts are come in a hard shell on a tree. Now, there are many other foods that cause these adverse reactions. However, it's these eight groups which account for 90% of the food allergic reactions. So how do we spot them? Well, the labelling is improving. You will certainly start to see things like this product contains wheat or this product contains gluten on the label. However, it's not quite where we need it to be. So a lot of people will suffer with things like histamines, and a product won't necessarily say this contains histamines. It's also very difficult because even looking at that, an apple, which is, you know, you think really simple, that is what I call a one-item food. We know it's an apple. We haven't had to look at something and think, oh, I wonder what's in that. But even so, there are so many different chemical compounds in an apple, it just isn't always that simple. So the labelling is getting better. Always check your labelling, but it's not absolutely complete yet. So there are a whole list of foods to exclude during an elimination diet. Definitely the dairy, the gluten, the soy, the corn, the eggs, refined sugars, peanuts, red meats, alcohol, caffeine, hydrogenated oils, and packaged and processed foods. Now, that might look intimidating. And I don't want it to be, so we will focus more on what you can eat rather than what you can't eat. But it is really designed to help you understand how your body is supposed to feel, because when you take these foods out of the diet, they could well be what has been sabotaging your health. And when you start to feel better, you're actually not going to want to reintroduce them, some of them, at all. So why these foods? Let me just run through quickly the individuals. So dairy. Okay, let's focus on dairy. Now, 3 in 4 of all people are unknowingly intolerant to dairy-containing foods. And some of the symptoms you'll experience are headaches, persistent cough, asthma, frequent colds, sinus pains, skin problems, bloating, IBS type things. A lot of people get mucus on the back of their throat. And there's two reasons that we have become intolerant to dairy. One is the sugar in the milk, which is the lactose. Now, since we've started pasteurizing milk, pasteurization actually breaks down the enzyme lactase, which would have normally broken down the sugar, lactose. And humans, we don't make lactase in our body. We do up to about the age of 7, and then it really dies off. So we actually don't have the enzyme to break down the lactose. Now, I was actually brought up on green top milk, and that is raw milk. And we're not allowed to buy it now on the high street, but you can buy it online. And it's the beauty of raw milk is it has the lactase in it. Okay, there are all other milks which have it added to. Okay, but also inflammation increases the allergies, the asthmas, the acnes, and this is normally due to the protein in milk. And this is found. This is the A1 casein, which is in our commercial cow's milk. Now, I say our commercial cows because this protein's almost been engineered in. If you go for an old breed, like a Jersey cow, if you go for sheep or goat's milk, they are A2 casein, and that is non-allergenic. So you can have these types of milk and you won't have a problem with the casein. However, you may still have a problem with the lactose. Okay, now the caveat with dairy is it excludes fermented dairy. I work with Bravo yogurt, and I put everybody on the Bravo yogurt who has allergies, because when we are dealing with a fermented dairy product, the lactose, the sugar, has been fermented out by the microbes, and the casein has been denatured when we boiled the milk prior to adding cultures. So whether it's the Bravo yogurt, whether it's something like a kefir, we do exclude fermented dairy here. And this is a lot of things people don't realise. They cut out the fermented foods when in actual fact they have a wonderful benefit in actually reintroducing microbes back into our body that we may have depleted. So the next one is gluten. Now, I could probably talk, do a webinar of, oh, just about gluten, but we have really departed from the old artisan ways of producing bread. And now we see people who are celiac, but there's something more prevalent than celiac disease, and it's non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And this is 30 times more prevalent than celiac disease. And it's when the body's producing an abnormal immune response because we cannot digest gluten. Again, we are missing the enzymes for those long protein chains. And there's a mixture of proteins that we can't digest. And they tend to be found in the wheats, the barleys, and the rye, in the baked goods, biscuits, cereals. But gluten is hidden everywhere. It's in soy sauce. It's in canned soups, instant coffee even. And, you know, it really is something to watch out for, but the good thing is it is on the label. It was 2013 when Dr. Tom O'Brien did the Gluten Summit, and the information presented there was absolutely invaluable. However, if you are a bread lover, there are so many recipes out there now for breads and bread-type products which don't have gluten in. A sourdough bread, a good quality artisan sourdough bread, celiacs can tolerate. So you don't have to be completely bread free, but you need to be very, very savvy in terms of what types of bread you're having. And, you know, my rule with this is if you try and buy gluten free products, I've got a real bee in my bonnet that they are four times the price. They crumble into bits, they taste disgusting, and they're full of additives. So if people are struggling to find a good bread, a simple way around this is replace your bread with potatoes. You know, replace your pastas with rice. They're very simple without having the cost of the gluten-free products. But do look out for some fantastic bread recipes, and I'll give you a tip on that in, a little bit later on as well. And then we need to share the secrets of soy and corn. And these have been lumped together because 90% of our corn and soy products are now from GMO crops. And the evidence base is just not there to inform us, you know, what adverse effects of GMOs having on human health. It's not just the GMOs, but it's the glyphosate as well that they're harvested with. And it's mass overproduction. And soy and corn are among the largest farm commodities. And they are sneaking into our food industry and into our foods at an alarming rate. Think about something like McDonald's chicken nugget is an absolute classic example. You've got battery fed hens brought up on soy and corn GMO type products. That then obviously is going into their meat. That way you put in chicken nuggets, which is then mixed up with batters, which are containing the corn products, the high fructose corn syrup. This is everywhere. By the time we get those products on our plate, we are just looking at really, really dead, overprocessed food, which has just got too much stuff in that we just don't want to be consuming. So the next anti-nutrient is sugar. And there is no nutritional value in sugar whatsoever. It produces inflammation in the body, it elevates the blood glucose levels, and increases insulin production. And we've become... Our bodies are now, you know, metabolizing sugar, and we should be metabolizing fats. But again, sugar is such a cheap ingredient, especially, I've already mentioned, the high fructose corn syrup. It is found everywhere in ketchups, in salad dressings, all these protein bars, you know, builders healthy snacks. They are laden with sugar. It's even in peanut butter. And you know, watch out for breakfast cereals. They're an absolute classic one. It causes a host of different health issues. We know about the diabetes, the heart disease, the cancers, depression, and the obesity. So, and yet there are natural sugars in the diet, like, you know, the honeys, stevia, you know, leaf products, which will give us that sweetness. And we can get sweetness from dried fruits as well, which are also giving us a, you know, packed full of a punch load of nutrients, but not sugar as the white crystalline powder that you see there. And then we get into the oils, and this is a big topic as well, because you know, hydrogenated oils, they are chemically altered to turn liquid oils into a solid form, and they are added to foods to either increase the shelf life, add to the flavour, or actually add to our satiety experience. So, for example, when I was working in ice cream many years ago, oils were put in to increase that flavour in the mouth, or how it felt in the mouth. And again, they're leading to chronic inflammation, and then that onset of that leads towards disease. But again, they're found everywhere because it's another very, very cheap ingredient. So we see them in coffee creamers, we see them in vegetable products. You know, margarine is one molecule away from being plastic, fried foods, packaged snacks. So again, with the hydrogenated oil, they've got the saturated fats as well. So you really need to look out for the label. And again, the labeling is quite good on this because we are now aware of the health risks of it. So do check the label for your hydrogenated oils and your saturated fats. And then more coffee. Yes, I know coffee lovers out there, there are some benefits in coffee, particularly the high-grade coffees. However, you know, an 8-ounce cup of coffee is going to give you 95 milligrams of caffeine, and then you need to metabolize it at least for an hour. So, you know, 2 cups of coffee a day, we've got an addiction going on. So if you're having 6 or 7 cups a day, wow, what is that doing? But caffeine does increase the sugar cravings and destabilize our blood sugar levels. So, you know, and it has an impact on the adrenals as well. So we do know that caffeine has some benefits in small amounts. However, even the coffee shops are only using something like a grade 3 coffee, and nobody actually really pays the price for the grade 1 coffees. So, you know, if you think of like your bulletproof coffee, that's a much higher grade coffee. So for the elimination diet, it is also something that you have to eliminate to allow your body to detoxify. And then alcohol, cutting the booze out. Okay, now, alcohol obviously disrupts the body's natural ability to detox. It, you know, can cause inflammation. You can be intolerant to your alcohol, not just like your beer products, because they've, you know, obviously got gluten in, but there can be high histamine contents as well. So again, that's going to have a massive impact on the body processes, such as the immune systems, the nervous systems, and the digestive system. So yeah, alcohol is out as well. Okay. The thing is, it's 3 weeks. It's just for 3 weeks. This isn't a lifetime. It isn't forever. It is a 3-week body reset. So now I really want to focus instead of what you can't have on what you can have. Now, 3 weeks is the optimal time. During that 3 weeks, it's very likely that all the antibodies from any food-related immune reactions you had have been dissipated. Okay, and also 21 to 23 days, that is the ideal time as well to create new habits. It takes the body a while to change old habits and create new habits, but you will find that that 3-week period is absolutely perfect. Okay, if you cheat, or if you introduce foods too soon, you are not going to see the benefit. So what I would say to people is, if you're going to do it half-heartedly, then don't do it. You know, you've absolutely got to pick a point in time and say, for the next 3 weeks, this is what I'm going to do. Because if you don't give your body enough time to detox from what was harming it, you're not going to notice the difference when you start reintroducing food. So 3 weeks, that's the magic number. Okay. So let's just stop for a minute and have a look at how gorgeous does that look? How colourful does it look? How alive do those strawberries look and those blueberries? And do you know what? I could just sit and eat that now. I think it looks gorgeous. I would actually take it a step further and I would pour dark chocolate all over it. I just think that looks gorgeous. And the biggest problem we have is we are shown unhealthy foods instead of healthy foods. When you go to the supermarket at the point of sale, you're shown a chocolate bar, you're not shown fresh strawberries or fresh blueberries or, you know, lovely high quality dark chocolates. And that's part of it. We are programmed at the point of sale to take the cheaper, high value added products and not eat beautiful foods like this. So the biggest common mistake, if you're going to do an elimination diet, is focusing on what you have to eliminate rather than celebrating what you are able to eat. And when you focus on the foods that are included, it just doesn't seem quite as challenging. So the foods to include in your diet when you're going through this phase: anything gluten-free. So you can still have rice, you can have quinoa, amaranth, tapioca, buckwheat. There's lots of different grain-type products that you can still include. Lots of dairy substitutes as well: almond milk, coconut milk, hemp, and rice milk. I actually have the Bravo yogurt in a smoothie in the morning. That's a fermented dairy product, and that's fantastic for me. You can have vegetables except for the corns. Whole fruits. Now, it doesn't have to be a fresh fruit. You can have it frozen. So you can fill your freezer with all sorts of, you know, soft berries and just, you know, a lot of people, or if you go into a restaurant now and they make up a smoothie, they will pull out a frozen pack of fruit to make up those smoothies. So that's a great tip for when you're preparing and wondering what you're going to have for breakfast. Lean and clean animal proteins are fine. So we're looking at the wild game, the organic chicken, the fresh fish, etc. And yes, unfortunately, it does make it more expensive, but it will be worth it. Nuts and seeds are on the list, beans and most legumes, except for the soybeans and the peanuts. And then the high quality oils: coconut, avocado, cold press olive oils. You just need to think about the temperatures that you're cooking with there. But this is what gives us our satiety. This is what makes us feel full. Herbal teas are fine. And there are sweetener alternatives, you know, honey. We're not going to count calories on this, but you just have to sort of think there are high content. But yeah, honey is a great, great sweetener. There's different rice syrups, molasses. I've already mentioned stevia. And then you can spice everything up as well. So you follow that for 3 weeks, and I'm going to go on to more and more tips about it. And during that 3 weeks, your body has detox, and then we have a quite controlled reintroduction phase. And this is really important for you to understand how foods are making you feel. So after the 3 weeks, you transition to reintroducing the foods back into your diet, and we do it in a very, very specific way. You introduce the food one at a time for 48 hours at a time. And I know some people say to me, oh, Kirsty, this is going to take forever. But in actual fact, you have already got a huge repertoire of foods that you can eat, and you're going to pick one. So what I say to people is pick the one you've missed the most, or pick your favourites. Within a week, you could have screened them all. So you choose one food and you bring it back into your diet, and you notice how that makes you feel for the next 2 days. And we have a food symptoms tracker for that. So if you don't have any symptoms, then you're okay to then include that food in your diet going forward. You've done your work, you know, and then you can move on to the next one. So you're looking to notice any changes over 2 days. So it's not necessarily what you had for lunch. Food sensitivities, food intolerances, they can take a couple of days to work through. That's why we do it for 48 hours. So if you don't notice any issue, you can then add that to your list of foods. So let me just go through some extra tips. And again, I'm showing you some gorgeous foods here to sort of inspire you to do this, and inspire myself as well, because I need to do this. The summer's coming, and I like to do it this time of year, just to give my body a boost. Although it's not technically a weight loss diet, a lot of our weight is inflammation. And when our body gets healthy, you know, the weight is lost because the weight is a symptom. So avoiding the pitfalls. Well, hunger, that's the biggest fear factor. Am I going to be hungry? Am I going to be starving? You eat until you're full. And if you're hungry, you have a bag of snacks. So, you know, veggie snacks. I make up what I call little no-bake bites. So, because I have a bit of a sweet tooth, so I'll use nuts and seeds and various dried fruit to make up little products, and I'll keep them in the fridge. So it's really about preparation. But the six human hungers, you're not always hungry for food. Yes, there is nutritional hunger, and you are missing some ingredient, but you can be hungry because you're thirsty. You can be hungry because your body's lacking variety. So the body needs a variety of food to access all the different nutrient groups. You could have low blood sugars, or the biggie for me is emotional hunger. Are you eating because you're bored, because you're fed up, because you had a bust up with your partner and you need to, you know, go get some comfort foods? And there is something called empty stomach hunger. And this sort of stems back to our ancestors, you know, the hunter-gatherers. We were designed to have empty stomach hunger because it made us go out and collect seeds and go hunting, etc. And it was all the sort of famine and feast. So it isn't bad. It isn't going to kill us, but it's just stimulating us into taking action. But you don't necessarily have to eat something. So when you're hungry, just ask yourself, am I actually hungry? Am I hungry because I haven't eaten for a couple of hours? Or am I hungry for one of these other reasons? And if you just stop and ask yourself that, you might find that if you have a drink, you weren't actually hungry at all, you were thirsty. So to set you up for success, you have to plan ahead. You know, you can't just start this now. It takes planning. You need to sit down with the foods list, work out what you're going to eat, go shopping, clear out your cupboards from all the temptation, do a little bit of work to have things prepped for breakfast, lunches, etc. So planning ahead is absolutely key. And then when you do go shopping, read the labels. It would be awful if you picked up the wrong food just because you hadn't read the label. Stay well hydrated and journal. I would say journal through it. And I know when we do the elimination diet with the IFM, we provide the, you know, the 1 day, 3 day, 7 day journal. How are you feeling? It helps you understand when you're actually hungry or what symptoms are happening. Now, there are some common mistakes that people make. You can feel worse in the first couple of days, you know, especially if your body has been in a high state of inflammation. But what I say to people is your body has this blueprint. It wants to be healthy. So when you take out the inflammatory foods and start giving your body the good nutrition and the healing foods, your body is suddenly thinking, wow, well, I'm feeling a little bit stronger now. I've suddenly got all the building blocks I need. I can now sort this body out and start getting healthy. And sometimes that can feel a little bit worse before it gets better. But that's not a point to quit. Your body's doing what you need it to do. It just might be a little bit uncomfortable in the first day or two. So don't quit in the beginning. Psych yourself up for the 3 weeks. You know, if you're not fully embracing the full spectrum of foods, that can make things a little bit bad. If you don't plan ahead, you can fall off the wagon because you go and eat something that you shouldn't, and then really you're back to square one. So, and then the other thing is don't skimp on the reintroduction phase. If you've put all the hard work in and done the 3 weeks, don't go start eating everything on 3 weeks in 1 day, because you will not learn what the body was reacting to, and that would be such a waste. Okay, so let me give you some tips about recipes. There is a fantastic recipe simulator, and it's from the Foodwise people out in Australia. And what you basically do is you go to this website, you put in your raw ingredients, and it comes up with all different sorts of recipes. How fantastic is that? I absolutely love it. And for somebody who's a real heat and serve person, I need quick, easy tools. So I just find that one fabulous. So a couple more clinical pearls, and this is what I see in clinical practice. We know all diseases begin in the gut. Hippocrates told us that many, many years ago. And in functional medicine, we have something called the 5R approach. But before I even get to the 5R approach, I see something called phenolic sensitivity. So I'm going to mention those. And a lot of the things that we learn in doing this is by journaling, writing it out, because it's the awareness that really, really helps people. People get those light bulb moments and go, do you know, I never realized that it was that product that I was eating for breakfast every day, which was generating this. And that information is invaluable, because you don't want to introduce that product again. So these are real important points here. So Hippocrates, all diseases begin in the gut, and let food be your medicine. You know, we are a bit of a society who goes to the doctor and is looking for a magic pill. And in actual fact, it's nature that gives us everything that we need. People just don't appreciate sometimes how medicinal foods and herbs are in the diet, okay? Now, I just want to touch on this. I do a separate webinar on leaky gut, but the reason I did this about allergies is because for me, this is the start. You know, I deal with some complex situations, people with Crohn's, colitis, Lyme disease, ME, etc. And when I look back over their whole of life health history, what happens is it's a progression called leaky gut and referred to as intestinal permeability. And what basically happens is we have a digestive tract all the way from our mouth to our bum, for want of a better word expression. And it is like a small hose pipe, very small net. But when something gets into the digestive tract, which causes inflammation, I think of inflammation as a small fire. These tight junctions are inflamed and they're sore and they pull apart. And we get these openings in the intestinal linings. And this is what allows proteins from gluten, infections, bugs, parasites, environmental toxicants. They then get into the bloodstream. And this is what's triggering these allergies. So it starts with the gut tract being compromised. And when that's compromised, that's our internal barrier. That's our defense mechanism. So the first sign is we see the food intolerances, but if it progresses, it will turn into an autoimmune abnormality, and then you've got an autoimmune condition, and then you're into the sort of serious diagnosis. So I always say to people, don't ignore allergies, deal with them now, because when you take everything out of the diet, you are removing the inflammation, you're removing the causes of inflammation. The gut tract, and this is only one cell thick, it can repair itself very, very quickly. We're talking days, not weeks or months. 3 days and the gut lining will repair itself. So this is why if you think we can do 3 days, what happens over that 3 week period? So this is why this is important. Nip it in the bud now. So in functional medicine, we have the 5R framework, which is remove. So this is what we're doing with the elimination phase. We are removing anything from the diet which is causing inflammation. Then we will replace the nutrition because these are the building blocks. But the biggest mistake I see people make, I will see people come in and they are on loads of supplements. So they're trying to replace the nutrition in their body, but they haven't done enough work at the remove stage. So you have to remove the inflammation first. Then you can look to supplements to replace nutritional or look at your diet. In actual fact, if you follow the elimination diet, you will get most of your nutrient content. Then we re-inoculate. So the microbiome may well have been compromised. Especially if you've got a history of antibiotic use or medications or, you know, wiping everything clean, sterilizing everything. So we would then re-inoculate, then the body can repair, and then we rebalance. So we look at sleep patterns, we look at stress levels, etc. And this is a, you know, really well-defined framework that we use in functional medicine. Now, I want to mention histamines because a lot of people talk about histamine intolerance. And you know, it can be in red wines, it can be in many foods, it can be, but there's not just histamines, there's the nightshade family. And being a bioresonance practitioner, I see all these sensitivities come up, but they are slightly different to food sensitivities. So histamine is just one of them. There are many, many others, and the whole list there, I can't even pronounce some of them, but I see them come up on my bioresonance equipment all the time. And some people are so sensitive that they can't eat anything, they can't use any personal care products, and they can't take their supplements or their herbal products that they've been recommended by their practitioners. Those are the sort of people I'm talking to. And in this sense, you cannot do the work to repair histamine intolerances or deal with histamine intolerances with a physical product. The immune system is out of whack. It's not operating on the right information. So in actual fact, what I see here is I call them the phenolic sensitivities. They're not just in foods, they're in personal care products as well, but they will produce again all these symptoms similar to what you see with the food sensitivities. But a phenolic is a compound, a chemical compound, which gives foods either their flavour, their colour, or their smell. And not just foods, like I said, personal care products as well. One phenolic can be in as many as 200 foods. And the interesting thing is, I see these phenolics in very, very healthy foods, like an apple, like celery, like blueberries. So all the things you would want to eat as part of an elimination diet, you're still reacting. So for any of these people, I do have a solution for you. It is an energetic solution. And we do this because the body's immune system has got so out of whack. You've got the blueprint over here, which is saying, this is how I want to be. But the information the body is using is out of date. It's like running out of date software on your computer. And what we do with energy medicine is we update the information, and then the body will stop responding to these phenolics. Okay, very, very successful, very, very easy to do, but not very well known. And that's a real clinical pearl that I've just learned from doing over thousands and thousands of bioresonance screenings. Another thing to beware of is, you know, antibiotics, medications, particularly antibiotics, particularly sterilizing and cleaning everything. It's not just destroying the bad bacteria, but it's destroying our good bacteria. You know, we've got an increase in cesarean births. We're not breastfeeding as easily as we used to do. So we are wiping out our natural immunity, which is our microbiome. So the re-inoculation phase is really, really important. Again, this is where the Bravo yogurt comes in. We are re-inoculating the gut tract. And the beauty of the Bravo, it's the same microbial mix, very similar to mother's breast milk, that initial inoculation, and the colostrum that we get from the first milk as well. So be very, very aware that if you've got a history of antibiotics and medications, they will have wreaked havoc on the gut tract as well. You know, ibuprofen completely disrupts the gut tract as well. That doesn't mean you can't have it. Obviously, you've got to be under the advice of your GP, but hopefully by doing an elimination diet, you take away some of the symptoms that you were needing to use these things for in the first place. That would be the aim. Okay, so we have to treat our food as our medicine. Let food be our medicine. And I want to say with this, there are products here, you know, like the Bravo yogurt, like the apple cider vinegars, like the honeys, bee products. They cannot be replicated in science. You know, we cannot replicate what the bees do. They're magic. So using these foods, they're just irreplaceable, and they need to be incorporated into the diet. I've got a whole ebook on apple cider vinegar, which is available to download. And it's absolutely wonderful, all the different health conditions that it's been used for. And I do recommend something called detox juice first thing in the morning, which uses this. So I'll post the link for that as well. Okay, now I just want to go on to quickly just cover off the rules of the mind, because I learned this through my RTT training. You know, our mind is responding to two things, and it's the pictures we put in our head and it's the words that we say to ourselves. And our mind does what we think it wants to do, okay? So we have to learn to control our mind, or it will control us. So for example, if you're going to approach an elimination diet, go, I don't really want to do this, I don't know what I'm going to eat, oh my goodness, what the food's going to be, your body, your mind is going to find ways to avoid you doing something that it thinks you don't want to do. So you have to change your thought process, and you have to say, for 3 weeks, I am so looking forward to giving my body a reset. I am so looking forward to eating healthy, health-giving foods. I am so looking forward to my body achieving its best health. And it really, really makes a difference. And it's very easy when we are experiencing a lot of symptoms to go into a fear state. You know, I'm worried my IBS is going to kick off again. I'm worried I won't be able to go there because of my allergies. I'll be sneezing and everything. And actually, that can be a real trigger for those things to actually happen. And what we need to be saying to our brain is, heal me. Right, I'm doing this elimination diet. I want to see the best version of me that I can be. So be aware of the rules of the mind. Okay, now, this chart I've put up because we are all different, we are all individual, and we need to consider, how would I get through that 3 weeks? What's going to make it successful and make it work? Because there are advantages and disadvantages to do an elimination diet. And to make it right for you, what I would say to people is start here. So don't look at the recipes, don't look at the food list, start here and work through the pros or the advantages in terms of good things that will happen if I do this, if I make this change. And then offset that with all your fears, all your concerns. You know, what will I not be able to do? What's this going to prevent me from doing? And what we want is more advantages versus disadvantages, because that's what will keep you going through the 3 weeks. Okay. Some of them will be really common. Good things that will happen. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to look better. I'm going to feel healthier. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to understand what's hurting my body, things that I won't be able to do. I might not be able to go to that restaurant with those friends on that evening. Okay. I might have to take a little bit more time in my day and planning. Those would be good examples. Okay. But what we really want to do is list all the disadvantages, not be fearful of them, and just work through them. Is it really a disadvantage? Is it something that I can work around? And then also the other thing that will get you through this is, how important is this to you? Because right now there might be other things going on in your life. You know, if you're moving house or you're getting married or your kids are changing school or you're going to have a baby or, you know, my goodness, if there's more important life events going on, this might not be important to you. So it needs to be high up there on the scale. So again, just think of that scale. Is it important right now? Okay. So I can tell you the top benefits of the elimination diet, but you need to feel that they are right for you and right at this time. And this is sort of stages of change theory. You might be thinking about it. You might just be collecting more information, and you might take this information today and go, yeah, that's really interesting, Kirsty, but right now, no, maybe next month or next year, etc. And that's okay. It's about what's safe, right, and good for you right now. Okay, so now that you know, where do you go? Now, I will send this out as a recording to everybody, and we always send out the transcript as well. So you can stop and go back to the list of foods you can have, list of foods you can't have, and really go from there. And then I'll give you some of the cool tips as well in terms of the recipe finder. Oh, one more I didn't mention. Paleo Hacks. I will post a link for Paleo Hacks, because I bought a £10 book from them, and then I got so many resources for free, different recipes, different inspiration, and I think they're fantastic. So I will post a link for that. Right. So now that you know, where do you go? Okay. I do have a bigger version of the elimination diet on Teachable, and that is all the resources for the Institute of Functional Medicine. So it gives you the shopping list, the food plan, a week's worth of recipes all planned out, and the instructions of what you need, how to cook it, etc. So that's available on Teachable. You can, if you've got questions, book a discovery call with me through my website, and, you know, I can help you through. Is it right for you? Is there something else going through? If you've got a particular health concern, I can help you understand if it might be right for you or not. You can book a consultation with me if you're particularly sensitive, for example, and like what I said about the phenolics, you actually might need a consultation. All I will say with that is, highly likely for people who do have a consultation with me, that as well as doing the health screening, my advice is normally do an elimination diet. Okay. If you're somebody who wants to do it, has gone through the pros and cons, and just doesn't think they've got the willpower or the determination, or really, really can't change their habits, then an RTT session might be good for you, because that's where I would go into the subconscious mind. We would regress back to why you think you might not be able to do this, and we would change some of those behaviors and limiting beliefs, habitual patterns, which are preventing you from being the best version of you. So that's something to look at as well. And if you found the content interesting, but it didn't quite hit the mark for your particular health challenges, then keep an eye on our Equilibrium events page, because there are other events that we're running. I mentioned I run the leaky gut one. We've run one on migraine, using CBD oil, anxiety. I work a lot with autism. So that events page has the events that I'm doing, but it also has the online health events, which are screened with all the top doctors from around the world. So keep an eye on that page as well. I will post the readiness tools. So that's your little questionnaires of, you know, shall I do this now? The pros and cons, how important is it to you? So they'll be available. Or you can visit the health store. You'll find there the Brava yogurt for the people who are highly sensitive, the Fen product, which is the energy medicine product. We've got CBD oil in the store as well for people who are in a lot of pain. And then lastly, if you don't want to book a call, but if you just want to ask a couple of questions or be part of a group, I've got a Facebook group called Cleanse, Nourish and Heal, just a small group. But if you ask to join that and post any questions in there, then I can help out further. So I hope you found that useful. And how does that leave you feeling? Are you ready to feel great? Or is it like, oh, yes, but not now? You should know by now what sort of feelings are coming up for you, or restrictions, or blockages, as I like to call them. So just leaves me to say thank you so much for listening. If you do know anyone else who can benefit from this information, then do feel free to share the page that you signed up with and share it amongst your friends. Like I say, because it will be available as a recording, and we'll do a transcript as well and a sound bite. So yes, please do share. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you again. And that's it from me. So goodbye and good night.